The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I kind of do have a clue what you're all doing this morning. You all should be watching the first press briefing of out of the office of the Prime Minister, right? That must mean no one is supposed to be listening to me. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see. I'm opening the phone lines early. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Again, I'll say it. 323-6232. 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Now, there are any number of things that are happening in the news this morning and or this week that I kind of want to talk about. I also want to talk to you about the voice note of Frederick Audley Mitchell. Don't you just love Fred? I mean, Fred Mitchell is the absolute best. And it is his chastisement of the former Minister of Health, who easily arguable is possibly going down in history as the worst Minister of Health in the history of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Notwithstanding that, Fred Mitchell, now Minister of the Public Service and Foreign Affairs, has kind of dressed him down and in some very colorful language. And I actually am going to play that at some point so that you can hear it, right? And it begs the question, all right, for as much as you either liked him or disliked him, thought he was intelligent or otherwise, maybe Dr. Minnis was onto something when he said he didn't want anybody seeking public office to run for chairmanship of the party, right? And it's because chairmanship within the political organizations as they are established in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas requires a little bit of blood sport, right? And, you know, you kind of do not want to see public offices or people that hold public offices kind of getting that catty, right? And you have to admit, for whatever it is worth, sometimes Fred Mitchell gets kind of catty. And it's fun when he is only the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. But, you know, now that he's no longer just chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party and that he is, in fact, the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Minister of the Public Service, you know, you kind of just wonder to yourself whether or not these kinds of antics are to be left for those that hold lesser office. And I say that respectfully because the chairman of a political organization isn't particularly a lesser office. He is the executive of that organization. But do I want a level of neutrality in public life that isn't going to be permitted if somebody serves as the chairman of a political organization? Because political organizations are about politicking. That's what they're about. They are about celebrating the woes of the other party. However, when you are in public life as a public officer, governance is continuous. And for whatever it is worth, you ought to try to assume that as ministers inherit problems from each other, they do so in the spirit that the minister that preceded them did his absolute best. And whether he was simply overwhelmed or overtaken, whether he is resigned or has retired, they believe that his contribution was an invaluable one, and they look to build on the successes of the previous minister. What we've seen over the last two dispensations of electoral processes, right, is ministers have inherited ministries, and then they kind of continue to talk back and forward about one another like a bit of divorce, right? He was so stupid. That's how he ended up is. That's what minutes was of this and of that thing and the next thing. And so I don't know if we see the maturity in politics that we ought to see. And I'm going to give the PLP slightly more flack because they're the senior party, right? Like, they are the ones that's been doing it for 67 years. And so they ought to have gotten it right, right? They ought to be the ones that, is it 67 years? They was established in 1952. Is that 67 yet? Somewhere in that area. So I argue that when you listen to the language of people that assume public office from other people that have either been booted out or resigned from or stepped down or step out of public life or public office, the language is just so much more cordial, right? And you don't hear cordiality in the language use of recent politicians. You don't hear it in the language use of those that are coming to public office now. You didn't hear it from the ones that were in public office in the last administration, chiefly among them Marvin Dames. Who else was it? Dr. Hubert Minnis. Who else was there? And so you wonder, you know, you wonder if our politicians have the wherewithal to be able to dial down the trickery of politics, for the lack of a better term, in an attempt to get governance correct. All right. Now, I do not disagree with any of the things Fred Mitchell said. Actually, I found it quite colorful. I also do not disagree with any of the things that Dr. Michael Davila said, right? Dr. Michael Davila said, listen to me, man. These fellas losing their head. I don't know how they could say I mismanaged in the crisis when they were the ones that had the election in the middle of the largest spike in COVID. I mean, COVID deaths left, right, and center. I don't know what they want from me. So I thought that I would play the voice note from the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, Frederick Audley Mitchell, who just by chance happens to also be the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Public Service. And while he did give his title, I think this is officially just as a Progressive Liberal Party chairman. All right? So it's quite colorful. I think you all want to hear it. Let's hear Frederick Audley Mitchell.
Good morning. This is Fred Mitchell, Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, Minister for the Public Service and Foreign Affairs, and today is Wednesday, the 20th of October, 2021. There's a word that once stopped the Speaker of the House of Assembly, as he then was, Kendall Major, used by one of our members to describe an act by one of our political opponents as frickin' foolishness. That stopped everybody in the House of Assembly that day, because we couldn't believe what we heard. Speaker cleared his throat and said, "Excuse me, what was that word?" Well, I want to use that word to describe what Silly Billy, worst Minister of Health ever, Renwood Wells, had to say about me. Frickin' foolishness. Mr. Wells was in full flight with his biggity, unrepentant self by describing what I said about the current state of COVID in the Bahamas. He said I was daft. Daft is a word from Scotland, I believe, that means nuts and crazy. It is only my good upbringing, my priest at St. Agnes, and my late, dear, departed mother, which prevented me from asking him if he smelled his top lip. I will tell him, take a home visit, look in the mirror if he wants to see who is really daft. This man, Mr. Wells, as he is known in polite company, left a healthcare system in shambles. He couldn't get medicine in the hospitals, no beds in the hospitals, people sleeping in tents, lying on gurneys outside in the pouring rain, 16,000 infections of COVID, 500 deaths and counting. And Renwood Wells, under whom this happened as Minister of Health, has the temerity today, the bloody nerve, to talk about who is daft. I only wish this were the schoolyard where I could tell him which of his lineal antecedents are daft. Now, Mother Pratt would say, this is an uncircumcised Philistine, total failure as minister of health, and you dare open your mouth. Drivel, dum-dum. The minister of health has the facts. What we are experiencing today, Dr. Michael Darvill will tell you, with COVID, and he has the facts, with the deaths and infections, is because Dr. Hubert Minnis called a general election in the middle of this pandemic. The FNM held rally after rally and helped us spread COVID, and so we are in the mess we are in today. In the meantime, Renwood Wells, as the Minister of Health, did nothing to fix the collapse of our healthcare system, so people died because of the FNM's negligence. Compare that to Dr. Michael Darvill today, who in 4 weeks in office as Minister of Health has fixed the supply chain of vaccines, working on restoring competent management in healthcare, and is getting the medicines to help ease the crisis. None of this would have been an issue had Renwood Wells done what he was supposed to do as Minister of Health. He failed us. As Darth Vader said, Renwood Wells, you have failed us for the last time. So go sit down and shut up. So God bless you. God bless you all in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And on this day, as we continue to fight the good fight against COVID, it's still on this day. PLP, all the way.
Isn't it just wonderfully delightful the way Fred Mitchell is able to conjure up these words? They're just so wonderful, because I would tell him to go and find out which one of his lineal antecedents is staff. It's just, it's colorful. It's very colorful. But is that what we expect when we hear communications from the voice of someone that ought to be a minister of the government, right? Like, I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. I'm just saying I don't know if that level of political blood sport is something someone that is a minister ought to be concerning themselves with. And so I guess I can understand why the Free National Movement, of course, Dr. Hubert Minnis, took the position that he didn't want the chairman of the party to be somebody that sought elected office or wanted to be in public office. And so maybe there's a little method to the madness there. Maybe we ought to look at that going forward. That if in fact you're going to be the chairman of a party, just maybe. And I'm not saying it's a rule. I'm just saying maybe as we evolve into a mature democracy, we ought to consider how we want these public offices to look. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, you can call me 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those numbers. You can text me on 422-4796. Now that we are talking, and if you hear me sniffling, right, let me tell you, this interesting thing happened to me on the way over here. I found decent hottie patties. And the little gal inside the food store warm them up so hot that now they're causing my sinuses to drain because I have terrible sinus issues. And I'm working through it, all right? So I don't have the Rona. Please, nobody don't call me and tell me, you understand me? It's just hottie potty and goat pepper causing my sinuses to do what they do. All right, so now that we are discussing public office and what that looks like, et cetera, there are new public offices that either are just coming into being or are slightly into being. And, you know, we have to figure out how will they be shaped? What will they look like? I see the press secretary has a wonderful little backdrop. It kind of looks like the White House. Luckily for me, I have the ability to see beyond sight. And so I saw the original contemplation for what that room ought to have looked like. And there was a nice, well-lit coat of arms in the background. I don't know how we decided on this little building thing. It doesn't look like the... It doesn't look like the office of the prime minister. I don't know what that replica is. I'm not sure. Maybe it's something from an American template. Who knows? Is that going to be the official one? Why was that one picked? No one told us any of this stuff. So, like, I think, Mr. Press Secretary, if you're out there listening, I'm sure you have your feelers. It may be very good if you can educate us, the public, on what in God's name do these symbols mean, right? Because I imagine that at some point in our history, people will have to protect these symbols. And as we are not sure why Columbus was standing where he was standing, because, you know, all y'all are now historians and somehow all have A's in history at the BGCSE level and probably seeking jobs at the Smithsonian next week. Everybody's just so well-versed in history these days. Every day of our lives, we are adding to history. And so Clint Watson 70 years from now, will go down in the history of the Bahamas as the second press secretary to the office of the prime minister. There will be instruments that come out of that office that take national symbolistic importance. And people will be manned or charged to protect those instruments. And so we have to know what they are. You have to educate us on them. It's kind of like when we decided the flamingo would be the national bird and the blue marlin would be the national fish. These are all things that as you develop them, you kind of have to tell the citizenry, what in fact does it mean? Why is this little white building on the blue circle in the back of you? What does it symbolize? Can there not be a sitting of the press secretary without this emblem? Should we assume that wherever we see this emblem, only the press secretary is to speak? It's kind of like the seal of the Office of the President of the United States of America, right? He speaks behind his seal. Nobody else does. So you kind of have to, you can't just go making stuff up. You have to tell us so that we know what to look for, so that we know what to enforce when it's enforcement time. That's kind of how it works, all right? The other thing is, I see the office of the spouse of the prime minister has come back. And I think the argument in itself is one that is steeped in folly. If we are, in fact, still a Commonwealth country whose head of state is Her Majesty the Queen, then that would mean that the representative of Her Majesty the Queen would be the head of state. How then did we create an office for the spouse of the prime minister? I still do not know. What is going to be the purpose of that office? I'm understanding now that there's some communication coming out of the UN as to what it is they expect for the inclusion of leaders of state with regards to spouses. And I'm still curious about it because I think that it is duplicitous in its actual conceptualization. It is not right for the prime minister to assume himself head of state in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas because he is not. And so Her Excellency, the wife of the Governor General, C.A. Smith, she ought to have an office, fine. I mean, we already don't have enough things for the Governor General to do. I don't know what we would find for his wife to do. But if the UN is that concerned about it, then I think we ought to at least get the office correct because the wife of the prime minister is not the spouse of the head of state. And so what is that going to look like? Or maybe we could have two. Maybe in the instances where you have countries like the Bahamas, where we have a governor general and a prime minister, we could have office of the spouse of the head of state and then office of the spouse of the prime minister. Who knows? How does that sound? Because I don't understand how they opposed it while in opposition, but they seem to be embracing it. And while governance, again, is a creature of continuous behavior and policy, some things just don't make sense. And that one doesn't make sense to me, all right? So I think we ought to figure that out, dress that up, figure out what it's going to look like. I'm not really sure. And I have no issues with Ms. Anne Marie Davis. I think that she would possibly look the part, and one-third of any job is looking the part, right? Like how you need to look like the Speaker of the House. I think we did a good job with that. How you need to look like the Chief Justice. I think, what was his name? Sir Burton Hall. He looked like a Chief Justice. You understand my point? And so I think she looks the part and will do well, sure. But I'm not really sure if we've fleshed out what do we expect? What should happen? What should be her role? How deep into the business of governance should she go? How much traveling should she do? Where exactly are we going to fund her office out of? Is her office going to be funded by NGOs? Is it going to come out of the government's budget? You know, how are we going to do it? And I'm not talking about kicking the can up the road as we go, giving her a stipend out of the treasury, literally, which is enough money to just buy tea and cups and polish the table, but so that the office actually has some substantive capacity. I think we've got to figure that out. All right, 323-622-3253-165-4259. Let me read a couple of these text messages. This one here says, when he said lineal antecedents is daft, he was saying, your pa daft, a.k.a. silly. That's true, right? That's educated speak for you must mean your ma or your pa, because you ain't mean me. That's what that is. This one here says, even in the throes of debt, Dr. Minnis has his ministers calling foolishness sense. It's time for everybody and they ma to acknowledge what the World COVID Response Ranking say. The Bahamas COVID Response and the Dr. Minnis and Rendered Wells was disastrous. Worst in the world. Well, not worst, like second to the worst. We was in hot last. We was like right before the hot last. That said, Brave Davis needs to stop Fred Mitchell from giving partisan statements. It's unseemly. Choose a master. But he is still chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, so he's allowed to make political statements. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Awesome show as always. There is only one Fred Mitchell. Has me in stitches. Only he can say it so. You're absolutely correct. Fred, see, if we was in the schoolyard, I could tell you, you must smell your top lippy. Thank God I's a good Anglican, you know. You don't know me, eh? I just represent Fox Hill, you know. Step Street, to be exact. Yeah, don't play with me like that. Fred sounds just like the little boy from Overlord. This one here says, no leaving. We had enough of nice-looking people in nice suits. What does it say? We had enough nice-looking people in nice suits. Is this to lead us for eternity? I ain't some scruffy-looking people. I want some scruffy-looking people who could actually do the job. Yeah, but I mean, you want your priest to look like your priest, right? You know what I mean? You want your boat captain to actually look like a boat captain, right? No? So I actually want my Chief Justice to look like a Chief Justice. I want my Minister of Foreign Affairs to look the part, right? If he's going to be the Chief Diplomat, I don't want the shabbiest, scruffiest, disheveled, unkept varmint on the planet going, putting on a aqua necktie and talking, but he going to go represent the whole of the Bahamas. Absolutely not. I want somebody that looks the part. So I think one third of any job is actually looking the part. This here says, morning, Levin. Y'all are really getting my name right these days. I appreciate that. That F&M party are a bunch of ignorant people, because as long as they allow you but minister hang around, he will continue to destroy that party. He's the worst this country ever had as prime minister. What a disgrace. Where did I stop? Yes, as a man, and as a man, not as a man, maybe as a prime minister. I'm sure his wife thinks he's an excellent man. If Renwood Wells' response is, at least I cannot say that. Fred sounds like a broken-hearted person. Huh? Why would he be broken-hearted? He has to see the power. There's nothing broken about him. He is Minister of Foreign, and not just Minister, Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Do you know the pomp and prestige that comes along with that portfolio? It's like being Bahamian Jesus. Everywhere you go, people wait on you. They roll out the carpet. You eat shrimps and drink Tattinger. You're always riding in the back of Tahoes and limousines and possibly Mercedes. And you travel to the far-flung corners of the earth. What would make him better? This one says, I know he's chairman. Choose chairman or cabinet minister. No, I want my boat captain to know how to steer the ship. Okay, that's fair. This one here says, hello, Levin. Please do not... Oh, okay. Okay, I will not read on air. Let me take a phone call. Come on and call. You're on.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Mr. Miller? What's
hey,
up, brother?
Hey, what's up?
I can't complain. Listen, the reporters who interview, who has the time, I call it time, whatever time you want to call it, week's time, whatever time, who interviewed the former prime minister, Mr. Minnis, right? I give him his respect. Right? Why? How is it that no one has never asked him the question, why did you call an election during a third wave? He used to say the word war or crisis that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Why that question has not been asked? Because it seems like you never could have get an interview with him. You couldn't even get a conversation. It's always one and one is two. I get him to cook, whatever. We don't go back into that. Mm. But what I'm saying to you, the question is, the big money question is, why did you call an election, right, during this time when you're saying that we are in such a crisis with this COVID situation, people are dying? Why did you do it?
Mm.
But that's a serious question.
I'll tell you what gives me great pause, though. Why are PLP so hurt that he did? I mean, the outcome for you all was tremendously wonderful.
Mr. Miller, let me tell you the truth, right? It isn't a matter. I could only speak for DeWitt.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't care if he did or if he didn't. But what I am saying,
I think
to
that's
you,
disingenuous, but go on.
No, yeah, well, you call it disingenuous. I have my reasons why I say that. But what I use that hypothetically. Okay, the reason why I said that is because
that's cute.
Now that you lost the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could find the most difficult things of the minister of health, the prime minister, and the government.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were the government, when you were the prime, remember, and I, Mr. Miller, I want you to be fair because I consider you to be a fair man, fair person, sir.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman, the former prime minister, he was the competent authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't ask for no help from nobody. But now, all of a sudden, he has the voice of 10,000 people. Okay, you're talking about the numbers going up. Come to find out, some of them didn't even order the vaccine. But you know, it only goes to show you, Mr. Miller, I'm going to say this to you because I can leave this with you because I have something to do.
Okay.
If this government didn't change,
mm-hmm.
and we'd allow that gentleman, I consider him as a gentleman, to run this country again,
mm-hmm.
you think COVID getting rid of some of our people? Trust me, some of these people might have fall out from starvation and other things, God forbid. Because I thank God it changed, and I pray to God that this government,
mm-hmm.
you know, have some sort of relief to help, you know, to give some people some sort of relief. But that Mr. Menace gave nobody. The only thing was lockdown. Open up. Lockdown. Now he said, or they need stricter measures. You know what he would do? Lock you down, deprive you of your life.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And last but not least, Bahamian people in this country, if y'all continue to not practice self-responsibility, if Mr. Davis decides to take this thing to a different level of restrictions, don't get mad. Because, Mr. Miller, let me tell you something.
But if he does that, that goes contrary to everything that he said, that lockdowns
at the end of the day, Mr. Miller,
mm-hmm.
we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a serious problem. And sometimes, Mr. Miller, you got to make decisions with a hurt you with.
Mm-hmm.
But to make it better, for the period of time, you have to make decisions. And mm-hmm. and I tell someone last night, Mr. Miller, if I had the last say in this country,
mm-hmm.
8 o'clock, them bars can be closed, bro. You know what I say? The country will still be open to...
Listen
to me, Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Be real, man.
Mm-hmm.
These clubs still open up. Weekends, parties. Why are some of these people doing
would
this?
Would you also close the ones in the hotel?
Of course. Of course. Be real about it, Mr.
Yeah,
Miller. The government can't help us.
The government can only help us to build capacity. It's not the government's job. Thank you, DeWitt. It's not the government's job to tell me to behave. It is the government's job to build capacity. I've said this when Renwood Wells was the minister. I've said it when Dwayne Sands was the minister. And for the god-awful period that Hubert Minnis was the minister, I said the same thing. It is not the job of the government to tell me to behave. If that is your thinking, right, then the Minister of National Security ought just stand at the top of Family Guardian Hill and make a proclamation. Murderers, stop murdering. You think that's going to work? No, it is his job to train soldiers, buy arms and ammunition, outfit them with the necessary accoutrements. It is his job to make sure that the prosecutorial process of the court is smooth and seamless. Because when you offend, we intend to show you why you ought never have. So don't say, the people have gone by the bar. Oh, my God. What does it mean? The people going by the bar. Okay, less. Figure out we used to say a thing in the military when I was there, you know, work a miracle. Figure it out. They will never give you all of the tools that you need to get this operation done. Work a miracle. Very simple. And I don't understand how we give people such carte blanche passes and pay them $90,000 a year. I don't get it. I don't understand. For $90,000 a year, I would be healing the sick and raising the dead out there with a teaspoon of sugar and a glass of water. The problem is you can't keep looking for the easy road in governance. Government is hard work. And if it wasn't, I would go and hire Potcake and tell him put an end to his hubcap career and come be the prime minister. Because Potcake never looked like he would do nothing difficult to me. Every time I see him, he's just in a horizontal position, feet clasped at the ankles. That's not what governance is. If the only time I could hire you to govern is when it is absolute peaches and creams and free field trips all over the place, then might as well we go call Elizabeth Regina for this. And closing the bars to it translates into people not being able to work and into people losing their homes. The math is the same. What are you talking about? Anyway, let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Not there. Next call. Good morning, caller. You're on. No, what's up? Hello. Hey, what's, you're talking too loud. What's up?
Hello, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Robert.
Now, you talk about being Ant-Man, not partisan. The United States has been around 245 years. They partisan more than any country. They're partisan. You on my side or you on their side?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, right? But the words, the John Trump said at the rally, I've been the great expensive scores. I know big words, but stupid sound better. I think it was him, and I cooked. So saying no, being fancy words, let's get to the point, do what you have to say, and get over with it. That's life. That's politics, little man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cutthroat sport.
Mm-hmm.
We can be friends, but really, I don't like you.
I agree. What I am saying, though, if you look at presidents of the United States that are not Donald Trump, what you will notice is that once they assume the office of president, notice the way they speak about their predecessor in office. Notice the way governors that take over from governors talk about their predecessor in office.
Trump set a tone. Trump is the first one I heard, you know, really big rules, but that he did not have a mind.
And that's my point. That's not the way political diplomacy ought to be done in public office.
And he his base loves it for that. His base, 74 million people voted for him to carry on as ruthless as that. That's why he got them with power still to this day.
I don't disagree.
That's back to this COVID. Mm-hmm. Now that they're all the sickness, they need to order more monoclonal antibodies. That saves you from getting to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to shut it down or order drugs to save lives.
And Robert, I don't agree. I don't agree with restrictions in any level. The freedom of movement is among some of the basic tenets of human rights. I do not believe in having civil liberties fondled in that fashion. So do everything you can, man. Listen, when you go to sea, right? If by chance somehow you start taking on water, mister, keep these pumping and let's try get to land. This whole notion that we could somehow just stop right here in the middle of the ocean, we are all going to die. That's going to kill us. I know we taking the water on. I know we had a good hit. Keep the pumps pumping and keep the engine in drive. That's how we get out of here. There will be casualties along the way. That is a regrettable thing. Some of them will be very close to us. That is also regrettable. But does it make sense to brag about how good your grass is growing if you have a yard full of dead cows? What good is it for us to say that we have a zero COVID outbreak and everybody loses their house in the crisis except for all the people on the government payroll? Do you not remember the way this country was 16 months ago? The level of depression, the horrid wretchedness that was the mental state of some people? Man, please, for God, not for my sake, not for Levin's sake, you know, for Christ's sake, don't take us back there. Let us figure this out. There is... $6.4 million worth of equipment I could think about in the government's arsenal, not yet tapped into. There's the $27 million piece of equipment sitting down that has not yet been tapped into. The NHI, $50 million, not yet tapped into. Well, what are we doing? What are we doing? Oh, boy. 3-2. I need to take a break here. Let's go to a break, Ali. I see the callers on the line. You could either hold on to the break or you can give me a call back. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. 4224796. I'm Levin Miller. That means I'm unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't move. We'll be back after the break.
Why? Why you look so mashed up, like clothes out of the washer?
No, but just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has stood the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. It's Leland Miller. I'm on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you so much for joining me. We're continuing on. I'm talking about what's in the news. Before I go on, though, if today is the 20th of October, that meant that yesterday was the 19th of October. And that would mean that I've officially missed the birthday of LaToya Hannah Moxie. And I know how I do that. I was so busy with my other friend, Christopher Corley, down there as we had the wedding ceremony. And I totally forgot. And I don't know, I want to just lay down and bathe myself off in sackcloth and ashes and possibly roll over naked in the street and lament my transgressions. I don't know how I did that, LaToya. So while you are out there, let me say, I think it's the 40th. Happy 40th. We got to catch up. I mean to do that. That was an oversight. Blame my assistant. Yeah, how does that sound? Yeah, they didn't put it on the calendar. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. And hopefully we catch up sometime this week. All right. What else do I want to talk about? Ah, yes. The Prime Minister, former, I don't know why they call him that. The leader of the opposition. I wish the FNM would hide this man because he's obviously lost it. He had some words to say to Dr. Michael Darvall with regards to the COVID outbreak in the Family Islands. I want to tell you, I believe the man has lost his mind. Mr. Menace contends that somehow, magically, through magic, he's not at all to be held responsible for the COVID outbreaks in the Fami Island. And he invites Dr. Michael Darvall to follow the science, right? If I remember correctly, the science suggested, and one of the reasons why they was doing all these silly lockdowns to begin with, was because there were people that could be asymptomatic and have COVID and be undetectable, right? Like, you wouldn't be able to see that they had COVID. The Free National Movement was the one that flew scores of people into Family Islands. And don't play with me. I was in Abaco when you all were there. I see the people on the ground that you all flew in, right? I mean, just to move the office of the Prime Minister on its own requires a certain cadre of people to be there, right? And so, somehow, 1 month later, 4 weeks later, this now leader of the opposition contends that none of that caused the outbreak, because if it had, you would have seen it in the first 5 to 6 days. Hogwash, that's what it is. Because yes, You could have, but you could have also seen it after the incubation period of 14 days. And if you do 14 days from the 17th of last month, that would take you somewhere around the 10th of this month, thereabout. And if there were asymptomatics walking around, then maybe people were infected a long time ago. And the people that are all now dying is the people that was fanning up and butt flying y'all when y'all come like rock stars to these family islands to have these drive up rally. That was the silliest thing I've ever heard. On the family islands where family islanders all leave where they are to go to things when there are events because there's nothing else happening on this island. And so, yes, Dr. Minnis, we are following the science, and the science suggests that you could be largely to blame for the outbreaks on the family island. Let's hear what he had to say. I think it was last night on the news regarding the outbreaks on the family island.
The former prime minister says he isn't responsible for the recent spike in COVID-19 cases and recommends that Health Minister Dr. Michael Darvill follow the science. As for the suggestion that the rise in cases could be linked to the general election, Minnis said it's nonsense.
Scientifically, the science is there. Most of the infection would manifest itself within 5 to 6 days. Which means that the rallies would have been way before the 16th. But let's just say infection occurred on the 16th. It meant that it would have manifested itself by the 22nd, 23rd. We are now way in October. It does not make scientific sense.
On Monday, Consultant Physician Staff Association President Dr. Sabrika Pinder-Butler said the election could have led to the COVID spread on the islands. Meanwhile, Dr. Darvill insisted it was Minnis who called an election in the middle of a surge in cases. Several family islands have seen an increase in recent weeks. Dr. Minnis said his administration had a plan to protect the family islands.
We concentrated on beefing up Grand Bahama and New Providence as much as we can and present a blockade to the family islands to protect the family islands, because we knew that if the infection spread to the family islands, our medical facilities are not up to par to deal with that.
Minnis also hit back at Darvill's assertion that his government did little to improve healthcare facilities on the family islands.
We were faced with a pandemic. We were faced with Dorian. That set us back.
Now, the former prime minister had this bit of advice for the Davis-led administration. He said they should beef up contact tracing on those islands that's seeing an increase in COVID-19 cases and make the COVID-19 vaccine more accessible to family islanders.
One, contact tracing, so that the facts can be told to the Bahamian populace and stop speaking in silos. Vaccinate as many as possible and monitor individuals who are leaving what we termed the infective zone.
Reporting for Our News, I'm Berthany McDermott.
And so, if you do follow the science, like I said, there's a two-week incubation period for COVID-19, which is what makes tracking it down so difficult, because God knows how many people you will come into contact with in a two-week period, right? Some people are asymptomatic. If you calculate the fact that elections were held on the 17th, and what we know for a fact is that there were infected people allowed out of quarantine to come and participate in the voting exercise, that would mean that by the 2nd of October, right, the people that possibly contracted COVID would have been experiencing the symptoms of COVID around about the 2nd of October. All right? That would then mean that if some of them were asymptomatic and they were now, the fruit flies you all flew into the family islands, you know those ones? They would all be coming back home now, or all be returning back to the family islands that you flew them in from. Yeah? And you know the way we flew people from this island because they now live there and they had to come and vote in Nassau because the register was closed prematurely and so many people just voted wherever they could, you know, and that whole kerfuffle we created there. That would mean that if those people began moving back and forward, they could very well start infecting people anywhere from about the 2nd of October. Go fast forward a week later, one bunch of people dropping out dead. It looks to me like you are absolutely to blame. Completely to blame. I don't even want to blame nobody. I want to blame you. Because I can't think about anything else. All right? I can't think about anything else that would have made it like this. And according to your former Minister of Health, he say the numbers was going to go down after the election. I keep telling y'all, stop letting these people stare into the camera and just say anything. Let me read a couple more of these text messages. This one here says, Levin, wow, this is a terrible way to spell my name. Do sensible people believe that someone forgot to order the vaccine, which the government prepaid for a long time ago? I don't know. That did sound a bit interesting to me. One other thing while I'm thinking. I see coming out of the office of the Prime Minister today under the auspices of the press secretary, His Eminence, Clint Watson, that they are going to name board appointments by next week. I don't know how the Prime Minister continues to want to convince us that he needed all hands on deck with 22 cabinet ministers, but and an additional six parliamentary secretaries. But boards run government agencies, and that's when you get things done. And if after 4 weeks you ain't name a board, one single board yet, you ain't name no chairman yet, you ain't name nothing yet, then do you really need all hands on deck? Is the matter that serious? Because you're not acting like it. I imagine that if you had 4 years of the disaster that was the Minister's administration, you would literally go to sleep every night thinking about which persons would be on what board and what exactly would you expect the outcome to be. This one here says, Sir, Minister is a gift horse for the PLP. Somehow it baffles anyone with the least intelligence as to why that party allows that man to speak on their behalf. He's their leader, that's why. DeWitt talks change from before elections. It's like the My Haitian syndrome. I don't understand what that means. DeWitt is a hypocrite. They complain about lockdowns and the menace, but now his party is in office and he sees nothing wrong with locking down at 8 p.m. Yeah, I completely disagree with anything that remotely resembles a lock. I do not want to go back there in my life. I have a question. Why is DeWitt still talking about menace? And also, how could the government relax restrictions while cases are going up? Great show as usual. I heard on radio in Haiti, they kidnapped some missionaries and asking for $17 million. Miss Green, what these Haitians dealing with cross? This is a Miss Green. Minutes next in, what does this say? Miller, out of all the talk shows that DeWitt do for the PLP, what they did for him, I hope Mr. Miller, DeWitt don't turn on them in the future. This move will be one to watch. Minutes next in a bath and you finish the rest. I know what that means. Some of these text messages sometimes are leaders be like code. I ain't really sure what they trying to say. Miller, you see a new day yet? I have to admit, it is, I don't know, maybe it's the old bear. I'm enjoying watching this administration a bit more than I watched the last one. People like Mario Boleg appear to be quite genuine in his attempts at communicating clearly with the media. There is, who else is there? Michael Darvel, who just, I don't know where it is. I have Renwood Wells fatigue, but listening to Michael Darvel isn't as bad, right? And I want to say this, though. I did see him on the news, in a news story yesterday, and I think he seems to be getting a bit hot under the collar when asked questions. And I want to implore the good minister to please walk back from that. I mean, that is why you have a press secretary. If you realize that something bothers you so much, you may want to let the press secretary deal with it, because sometimes when you are attached to a thing, your emotions kind of gets in there and people can't hear the message because your facial expressions, your tone and voice, it is just distracting. And now, you know, it sounds to us like you're rowing. Or, well, it sounds to me like you're rowing. Do I have time for more calls? No, I don't have time for more calls. But you can text me, 422-4796. This one here says, yes, I believe they forgot, just like they forgot to reply to an email and we end up on the financial gray list. Remember Brent Zimmerman and Carl Bethel sitting in Switzerland in the hallway like rude children trying to say sorry? Yes, and so governance sometimes around here isn't as tightly knit as it should be. This one here says, Levin, where the sense if you take the COVID test to travel and you're negative, how are persons who travel transmitting? So the tests are not accurate? Yeah, but think about this. You take the COVID test up to 5 days before you travel. So it's kind of like you people that take the AIDS test and then go home and have the unprotected sex and then pick up the results 4 days later and celebrate that you HIV negative. Same principle applies. Same principle applies, all right? You have to actually wait till you get the test, then have the unprotected sex. Make sense? So you just out here skinning everybody air. That's all you doing. You in the bar, lone air skinning going on, right? You go by the club, more air skinning. One bunch of nobody wearing no kind of facial prophylactic, right? And then you go walk around and say, am I negative? Yeah, you was negative Tuesday the 10th when you took it. What did you do Wednesday the 11th while you was waiting on the result? Because that's how behaviors act. Man, I just take my COVID test, you know. And then you see them hot and heavy everywhere, just skinning up one bunch of raw air. I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know. Anyway, that's my time. Alan, you're not supposed to laugh. That's my time. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The station for fresh news and smart talk, people. Don't move. They've got the news. That's next.
Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died.